Well, good morning. I was going to say good morning again, but I realized that I hadn't said good morning to you yet. So good morning from me. If you don't know me, my name is Marcello. I'm the worship arts pastor here at Oceanside, and it is always a joy and a privilege to get up and to share with you what God has been putting on my heart. This morning, we're continuing in our series, Legacies of Faith, and it's a four-week series where we're taking a look at biblical leadership principles and the passing of faith from generation to generation. And last week, Paul started us off with a great message inspired by the prophetic transition from Elijah to Elisha, and this morning, we're looking at the leadership transition of Moses to Joshua. So just for a little bit of context here, in case you don't know, Moses is one of the most well-known leaders of the Israelites. And though not perfect, this life of a Hebrew-born, Egyptian-raised shepherd stands out as an example of faithful service, obedience, and reliance on the Lord. Moses answered the call of God, and under his guidance, he brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He brought them the law and the commandments. He instructed them in their history, and he shepherded them through 40 years in the wilderness to the precipice of entering the promised land. Now, Joshua was Moses' successor. He was a great military leader who led the conquest of the promised land and shepherded the Israelites through the generation that followed Moses. And again, he wasn't perfect either, but he was a man of great faith in the Lord because he had seen God's works in the Exodus and in subsequent battles. And in fact, he's recorded in Numbers 13 and 14 as being one of only two of the 12 Israelite spies that were sent into Canaan that came back and said, "I believe in the Lord's ability to overcome the great cities and fortifications and the people in Canaan." And therefore, though the rest of Israel was judged, Joshua was not. He was saved by the Lord. Joshua also helped the Israelites to be reconsecrated or dedicated to the Lord. And near the end of his life, Joshua also renewed the covenant between Yahweh and the nation of Israel. So you can see that both Moses and Joshua are both great spiritual leaders in biblical history. And there's many similarities between their stories. So both had a steadfast and unwavering faith and devotion to the Lord. Both had a belief in the power and provision of the Lord. Both had an ability to admit or accept when they had done wrong in the eyes of the Lord and the humility to return to Him. Both learned to obey the Lord without grumbling. And both had an ability to call people to action and to faithful obedience. But for all their similarities, there is one big difference between the two. There was something that Moses did and Joshua didn't, which could be considered the make or break factor when it comes to passing on a legacy of faith. Moses made an intentional investment in the next generation. Because every leader, spiritual or otherwise, has a dual calling. The first is to lead in accordance with the vision, the mission, and the DNA of the organization or body. So in a spiritual context, we're talking about leading as the body of Christ in accordance with the will of God the Father. And if you read in Exodus through Joshua in the Bible, you'll see that both Moses and Joshua were really successful leaders in this respect. The second calling of a leader is to develop people that will continue to carry this leadership forward to future generations. See, because great leaders secure the well-being of future generations, not just their own. I think it's warranted to say that again. Great leaders secure the well-being of future generations, not just their own. This doesn't always come naturally, right? Because in today's text, though, we see that Moses has to be taught some of this principle. So Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, could see that in an effort to live out his calling, Moses was trying to do everything all by himself, to do it all alone. So Exodus 18, starting at verse 17, says, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times." So what Jethro is saying here is, hey, Moses, look, go ahead, lead well in accordance with your calling. That's fine. But you must teach others to do what you do. If they need the final word, sure, have them come to you. But show them how to live. Teach them to fear the Lord. Teach them the law, and then give them ownership of it. Allow it to be written on their hearts so they can completely serve. Pour yourself into others. Lighten the load. In other words, invest in and build up others. Let go of some stuff or you're gonna burn out. I'm sure we've all experienced situations where a leader burns out or steps back or leaves with no division of power or succession plan in place. More often than not, I'd say it turns out to be chaotic. Systems fall apart and complete changes in directions occur that give no credence or no regard or no value to the past. And I gotta admit that I'm not always good at this. I'm really bad, actually, at delegating. Because I'm probably a bit like Moses at that time. And it's not that I want to control things, because I really don't. But I do feel incredibly responsible for the tasks and the teams that I've been charged with. So much so that I'll say, oh, no, I'm just don't bother anybody else. I'll just do it. I don't want to control things, but I fall into it if I'm not careful. And that's why I'm so thankful that I have people in my life that are like Jethro who can say, hey, man, that's not good. If you burn out, or you get sick, or life gets in the way, or God calls you to something different or to somewhere else, then what? If you control everything, if you haven't spread out the load or built up other leaders that can step in, what's gonna happen? Well, Moses seems to hear this and understand this message and accept it, because we see in Exodus 18:24 that Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. And then not only that, he also shows a further commitment and understanding to this principle by intentionally mentoring and discipling Joshua. And we can trace this right through Scripture. So Numbers 11:28 teaches us that Joshua had been Moses' aide since his youth. And it's Joshua that Moses takes up with him when he receives the Ten Commandments at Sinai in Exodus 24:13. It's Joshua who's at Moses' side when he destroys the tablets with the Ten Commandments in anger, Exodus 32:17-19. And it's Joshua who is stationed as guard while Moses meets with the Lord at the tent of the meeting. So Joshua saw the good. He saw Moses' trust and dedication to the Lord, the triumphs in battle by the Lord's hand, His provision through miracles. He saw the majesty, the glory, and the power of the Lord up close at Sinai. He also saw that he could learn from the bad, the human failings of a leader. This would be like when Moses' anger and pride and disobedience took hold, and he struck the rock for waters in Numbers 20, specifically against God's command. Joshua saw the difficult. Exodus 32, Moses had to admonish and punish the Israelites and watch them endure a curse after they worshiped a golden calf at Sinai. But Joshua also saw God's faithfulness in continuing to give Moses favor, even though he had been barred from entering the promised land. See, Joshua was at Moses' side for pivotal moments in Israel's history. And this shows us that Moses intentionally mentored Joshua to fear and uphold the ways of the Lord. And it's because he understood that except for the leadership of God, all leadership, mentorship, and discipleship is temporary. I'm going to say that again. Except for the leadership of God, all leadership, mentorship, and discipleship is temporary. We are given time-limited opportunities to steward the relationships in which God has given us influence. So make the most of it for the sake of those who come after you. Moses did. And this mentorship and this discipleship, this investment ultimately paid off for Joshua's generation. It says in Joshua 24:31, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. All right, so I said earlier that Joshua was a strong spiritual leader, and he certainly was. His military conquests and his ability to call out sin and deal with it, and his faithful teaching of the law to the Israelites, and his calls to choose obedience and renew the covenant are testament to his spiritual leadership. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, he's famous for saying. Joshua 24:15. But let me boldly say this to you this morning. Joshua's life and leadership has Moses' fingerprints all over it. And unfortunately, it's not so for the next generation. Joshua 24:31, right? Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. And then in Judges 2:10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. For all that he did, the biblical record gives us no indication that Joshua took anyone under his wing with the intent of solidifying a legacy of faith for the next generation. He did great with his own generation. Don't get me wrong. He did. He did really well with his own generation. But it didn't get passed on. It didn't get passed forward. And maybe it's just because he didn't connect the dots from his life experience. Or maybe he thought he was doing something when in fact he wasn't. Or maybe Moses never specifically mentioned this to him. I don't know why. But what I do know is that it shows that living out our faith with an eye on today only, with no intentional forethought about how we can impact the next generation, it just isn't enough. Do we want to have the faith legacy of Moses or of Joshua? The Great Commission in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, calls us all to make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? See, because disciple and discipling and discipleship are churchy words. And in fact, because of that, it's become pretty commonplace to use the term follower and disciple interchangeably. But I humbly submit to you today that simply following the Lord is not the same as being a disciple of the Lord. Being a follower, especially today, may imply agreement with something or someone, but it can also mean that it's something that just entertains us. We follow anything and everything today, but we're fickle too, and we stop following whenever we decide that we don't like something or we don't like someone anymore. Being a disciple is deeper than that. In his course on discipleship, Dr. Greg Herrick says this: discipleship meant much more than just the transfer of information. It referred to imitating the teacher's life, inculcating his values, and reproducing his teachings. Because a disciple of Christ is sold out for Jesus. A disciple desires to become more and more like Jesus over time, desires to imitate his life, to have a heart that yearns for what his heart desires, to have a mind that becomes focused on the things that he long ago laid out and modeled for us. A disciple works to daily deny themselves the thing of the world and hang on to the promises of the Lord, tasting and seeing that he is good no matter what. A disciple works to actively show the love, mercy, and grace of God to those around them. But here's the most important part. A disciple endeavors to make more disciples. Teaching others how to obey all that Christ has commanded, so that the good news of the Lord endures from generation to generation. Because ongoing covenant renewal, ongoing dedication to the Lord, it doesn't happen automatically. It has to be cultivated. So we are called to active leadership, active dissemination of the teachings of God, active training in godly living, active and intentional faith building so that, God willing, those with whom we have influence and those with whom they have influence will choose Jesus Christ. It was so awesome this week to see Ellie and Thomas and Catherine and all the volunteer leaders, many of them, as you heard, who were preteens and teens. It was so awesome to see them pouring into kids at Bible Day Camp. And like most camps like this, there was lots of fun. There was good teaching, a big idea each day, like God builds me up or God has a good plan. But in my estimation, the best day and the best thing was on the third day. Prior to the camp starting for the day, Ellie said this. She said, "Today is Salvation Day. We are going to share the message of salvation with kids. We're going to pray for kids. We're going to offer them the opportunity to accept Jesus into their hearts. So talk to them, listen to them, and answer their questions. And if you need help, we're here to support you." Friends, this is discipleship. Teaching others to invest faithfully in the next generation who in turn will invest in the following one. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to sing to close. But as we do that, I want to encourage you with this. Discipleship takes time. Months, years, decades even. Joshua was with Moses for 40 years. So don't be discouraged if your efforts don't bear fruit right away. And it might be that you only get so far before your time of influence is up. But I want to tell you this. Even the smallest effort is worth it if it wins someone for the kingdom. A small seed is better than none because we know what God can do with a mustard seed. You never know where the next Billy Graham's going to come from. So speak into the lives of others. Share your faith. Find a mentor. Be a mentor. Be sold out for Jesus as his disciple. Because I guarantee you, your efforts will not be in vain. They will not be in vain.